Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with Tony Stone, the head coach of the Montana State Billings Yellow Jacket softball team. This is the first time we've had a chance to talk where we actually haven't been talking about games that took place. You had the weekend off, and it wasn't, believe it or not, it wasn't weather-related. You actually had this schedule off, which is a good thing because you probably wouldn't have got to play anyway. But how's that gone for you? Has it been a nice break?
Yeah, actually what we've done is I've broken the team up into a scrimmage squad. So we're actually doing some inter-squad scrimmage today. Well, actually started yesterday. We'll finish today. And if we need to do another one tomorrow, we will do that. We're doing a three-game series right now. Just want to keep them into the habit of seeing live pitching situations, runners on base, things like that. Want to keep our reactions to the point where it's exactly like it is in game. So last week was a nice little break for us. Had some time off. The girls got a lot of studying in, but you know, this week we're picking it back up and we're going back to work because we've got a pretty tough weekend ahead of us.
Yeah, I mean, a great series, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit with Western Oregon, the two teams that were picked atop the GNAC, you in first and them in second at the start of the year, so certainly that is a good thing. You know, you brought up an interesting point. I think sometimes we forget that these are student athletes, and, you know, they don't just come to MSU Billings to play softball. They come to study. So, you know, with all the games that you guys have had on the road this year, and, you know, that's got to be a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, there's a lot of help that we get through the professors, through academic advising, things like that, that help keep us on track as far as our academics go. And I'm very strict with the girls and their grade point averages and making sure that they're on track, that they're not falling behind, because it would be very easy to do so with all the traveling that we do make. Make sure that they're carrying their books with us. And I think with this, you know, week off, I think we need to take advantage of that. Some of them may have gotten behind inadvertently, may have, you know, missed a few things while we were traveling, and it's just a good time for them to get caught up. And I think, you know, in speaking with them this past week, I actually had one of the players come up to me and she said, "Hey, I'm finally caught up with everything." And it was nice to see that, you know, look at the relief within her face after, you know, getting caught up. So, yeah, I think sometimes, you know, me as a coach, I'm concerned about the X's and O's of the game, but overall, I'm mostly concerned that you know, they're taking care of their academics, because when they're done with softball, their education is what they have to fall back on.
Well, Western Oregon coming up this Friday and Saturday. Looks like the weather is going to be nice. We're going to be talking about that during and other aspects of the Yellow Jacket softball program coming up. Yellow Jackets Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Danny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets Company. We'll be back with the second part of the Coaches Show right after this.
Bring it home. The Billings Gazette offers Billings and the surrounding area sports fans more coverage on local and national sports, news, and information than any other source. The Gazette works hard to deliver updates and breaking news, both in print and on BillingsGazette.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't miss a single day. Call 657-1298 today to subscribe.
And welcome back to the second part of the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Tony Stone, Ken Adelblue here. Tony, the last time we talked, you know, you were coming off another nice series, a series where you swept, you know, a team here in Billings. And, of course, you've been, you know, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for you. You went down to Central Washington, you split there, then you come back to St. Martin's, only get a couple of games in, but you win both of those. But over that time, I think you'll be the first to admit that you didn't hit the ball as well as you'd like. What have you been doing over this break to kind of, you know, shore up that situation, if you would?
Well, during the season, we don't try and make very large adjustments in their swing or anything like that. One thing that I try and keep them doing is keep, you know, as far as their mechanics and things like that, is keep them in a routine so that when their swing, you know, gets away from a game situation, that they still keep it in their muscle memory. Well, that's been the thing that we've been working on mostly, is just getting them into the routine. We've been swinging off the machine, doing a lot of T work, doing a lot of soft toss, things like that. But now we're bringing it back into a live situation where we're doing scrimmage, facing live pitching and our pitching staff. I think, you know, if we can face our pitching staff in practice, not necessarily how well we do against our pitching staff is what I'm concerned about, but just getting them to see some of the best pitchers in the conference, which we're fortunate to have, I think that will help us when we go into games against other conference opponents that, you know, they might have one pitcher that's pretty darn good, maybe a second pitcher that is okay and keep them in ball games. But, you know, thankfully for us, we have four pitchers that can do that for us. So when our hitters are facing that type of pitching, I think it makes us better as we go into conference play. Now, you know, overall, offensively, you know, we're not where we want to be. We've done some things to, you know, tweak here and there. But like I said, I don't want to make too many big adjustments, because I think once we get our timing back, there won't be too many adjustments to be made.
You've talked a lot in the past, and this is one of those subjects that fascinates me about the philosophy of hitting and things of that nature. And I want to ask you, and I've been trying to figure out how to word this, so bear with me. Mm-hmm. When you take a look at a philosophical approach to hitting, is every girl the same? And the reason I ask is some people, I'll relate to my own experience, you know, as a baseball player, I was that Wade Boggs type hitter, not as good, but I loved to watch that first strike go by. And then all of a sudden I'd kind of bear down. Well, my daughter kind of took that up too, and I think coaches have been cussing under their breath at me ever since then, because I think I taught her some bad habits. You know, she tends to take that first strike, and oftentimes that's the best pitch you're going to see. The reason I bring it up is when you have a hitter go up, is each hitter different, or is there kind of a general philosophy that you have as a coaching staff to jump on them early? Or do you kind of leave that up to the hitter in terms of whether they take that first pitch, whether they jump on it, or is it just each, you know what I mean?
Sure. You know, overall, the philosophy that they take into the batter's box is going to be dependent upon the pitcher that we're facing. From that point, then we can build into, well, do we take a first pitch or do we swing at the first pitch? Another situation to think about, does the pitcher have good control? Do they have command of the strike zone to try and get ahead of the hitter with a first pitch strike? My philosophy and what I tell them, no matter who we're facing, that if we do happen to get behind in a count, it's because of our choice, because we swung at it and missed. We don't want to let any good pitches go by. One thing that I'm telling them constantly, no matter who we face, no matter what pitcher is on the mound, be aggressive in the zone, which means if they see a pitch in the zone, whether it's the first one, whether it's the second one, third pitch, what have you, if it's in the zone, be aggressive, take a hack, and let us decide, let us determine what's going to happen at that at-bat, rather than letting the pitcher determine what's going to happen. That's the philosophy that we use to start out with any pitcher. But then it goes into, you know, is the pitcher able to find the zone? If she's struggling with the zone, maybe she just walks somebody on four straight pitches. I tell hitters as they go into the box, okay, that's four straight. Wait till she throws you a strike before you start swinging away. So it does depend upon situations. But our overall general philosophy is be aggressive in the zone. If it's the first pitch or the seventh pitch of the at-bat, if it's in the zone, be aggressive.
I suspect nothing drives a coach more crazy than, you know, a pitcher that's struggling and then somebody goes up there and, you know, takes a pitch that's high and out of the zone and then pops it up. That probably, as a coach, you just probably just want to just bang your head against a wall.
It is frustrating because I want these girls to be students of the game. I want them to learn. Because of that situation that you just presented, I think that's an opportunity for them to learn that when a pitcher isn't having their best day, when they don't have command of the strike zone, when they don't have their best control, that's the time where you get to be very selective in terms of what pitches you get to swing at. And normally in those situations, if you're going in there and you're swinging wildly, you haven't learned from the situation. You haven't learned from what's going on. That's the frustrating thing for me, is because I want to teach them the game. I want them to learn from me. And those are the things that I think will make us better. If we can't do that and we become, you know, complacent in that and we're just going up there taking, you know, undisciplined hacks at the ball, then, you know, we're not as good as we think we are. That is not the case with this team. I think once in a while it happens, but we've been very adept at learning from our mistakes. We've been very good at situations that have presented adversity, and we face that challenge well. And down the road, we continue to face that challenge well. So overall, I'm pretty happy with how we have learned. There's some things always that we're going to be teaching. You know, if that wasn't the case, then I wouldn't have a job. They could just do it on their own, and there'd be no reason for me to be here. But I think overall, if they can continue to learn and keep that mindset and be confident in that, I think we'll have no problems with that in the future.
I've got kind of a personal theory. I always thought the most important pitch was avoiding that second strike, because once you get that second strike, all of a sudden you're protecting the plate. And even if you're a good hitter with two strikes on you, you know, I don't think you probably, typically with most batters, and certainly there are exceptions. You've got players on your team that are great hitters with two strikes on them. But I think for the most part, you get that two strikes, all of a sudden you're in protect the plate mode, and you're probably not going to get the great swing that you would with just one strike on you or no strike.
Right, and that's one of the things that we're doing this week. The scrimmages that I've set up yesterday, today, and tomorrow, each hitter that goes into the batter's box goes in with a 1-1 count. So they've already gotten to a point where realistically they might only see two pitches in the at-bat. So if they watch that first one go by, now they're at 1-2. Now they're in defensive mode. So it's kind of like you said, once they get that second strike, you lose something in terms of the situation. You're not going to be able to put that powerful swing on the ball, and you're now swinging defensively. I think that's really helping us out, and hopefully it'll help us out going into this weekend, that you go into the batter's box with a 1-1 count, you see a good pitch to hit on that first pitch, go after it, be aggressive. And like I said, if you swing and miss, if you swing and foul it off, it was by your choice. You're the reason, not because the pitcher dictated the situation. We took control of the situation. I think we're going to learn from that this week, and hopefully we can use that this weekend.
You know, one of the issues I think about that you're probably facing is from the standpoint that you only got two games against St. Martin's. Only two pitchers got to work those games, that being Lisa Moore and Casey Condor. Now you're in a situation where Rebecca Satsa and Josie Grotbo haven't got some work for a while. Why does a coach do that? Just a lot of throwing at practice?
Yeah, and we've split their time in these scrimmages. So, you know, we don't let the pitchers take the time off that a defense would be able to take off. Pitchers have got to keep their stamina up. They've got to keep their groove. They've got to keep finding that rhythm. And as pitchers, sometimes a pitch night might not be working as well as they'd like it to, so they need to spend time working on that. Spin, location, things like that. It's a different world, and you know, pitchers are a different part of the team in terms of what they need to continue to work on versus what the defense needs to work on or what the hitters need to work on. So overall, the pitchers have kept up with their same sort of work schedule along with these scrimmages. They're facing live hitters, facing live situations. So they're always going to be thrown into the mix no matter where they're at.
Western Oregon this weekend. We'll be talking about that on the third part of the Coach's Show. Coach's Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets Company. We'll be right back with the third part of the Coach's Show coming up next.
Jim, the theme of our next float is ice cream. Now, get this, it's a float of an ice cream float.
Oh, yeah, that is clever stuff.
Well, that's what the first annual Farmers Insurance Agent Matt Clark Parade is all about, Jim. You know, Matt was extremely clever in helping the parade sponsor choose just the right coverage.
So when she had that fire, she came out smelling like a rose.
Farmers Insurance Agents help you get the right coverage. Farmers Insurance, do you love your insurance agent?
And this is the fun part with the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. We got to talk about what's coming up, Western Oregon. And I know a lot of people excited to see this Western Oregon. You know, only third in the conference right now behind you, and I believe it's Central Washington. Is that right? Behind Central Washington. Western Oregon picked at the start of the year to take second in the conference behind you. You went down there to start the GNAC season, earned a split on the road. Obviously, this is a very good ball club.
Yes, and I think the record that they have now, they're pretty close to 500. That doesn't reflect how good they are. They've got a very good pitcher. Their number one, Jessica Wood. She's the real deal. She's got good velocity. She can spot it well, has good command, changes speeds, very tough to beat. And then their offense is pretty potent. Tyler Sutherland, she's their shortstop. She's an all-region kid, and if you're here this weekend, you'll get a chance to see how good she really is. She can hit the ball. Her defense is tremendous, very quick, can steal a lot of bases. They've also got a couple other kids, Jessica Hallmark, that can hit the ball very well. Amanda Fleer, their first baseman, also platoons at second from time to time. They've got some really good players on their team, no doubt. They showed that when we went down there. It was their first two games of the season when we went to Monmouth to play them, and they beat us two games right out of the gate, their first two of the year, and we'd had, you know, 15, 16 games in at the time. So it's going to be fun. You know, when I was telling the girls this last night, watching us have a layoff that we did have and then coming back and throwing them right into a scrimmage, they were fired up. Our team was just fired up, and they played really well in the scrimmage. And it, you know, the scrimmage ended up 2-0 last night. There were 7 hits total in the game. We had some very good things happen, and they were excited. They were excited. So going in to this weekend to play a team like Western Oregon, I like that fire that I saw last night. We as a coaching staff felt good about what we saw yesterday out of our pitchers, out of our offense, out of our defense. If we can carry that into this weekend against a very good Western Oregon team, then, like I said, this weekend's going to be fun.
Yeah, you're two games up in the GNAC against Central Washington, and you know, you guys have been pretty much leading the conference all year. But the truth of the matter is, when you talk about a team like Western Oregon, I think they're 3.5 games back. You know, we've talked about it time and time again. You can't get too comfortable, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown, because, boy, that can change in a hurry.
Definitely. You know, 2-game lead over Central Washington, 3.5 game lead over Western Oregon, that's not very much. It really isn't. And it's an uncomfortable feeling, and I hope that, you know, we continue to feel that way. We continue to feel that pressure on us that we have to perform at our highest level every time we go out there. And if we can do that, I think we're going to be okay. But like I said, it's got to continue. We can't let down at any time. Western Oregon's a good team, and then we're going to follow that up next weekend with Western Washington. So it's not going to be an easy road by any means, but you know, we'll keep doing what we're doing and control what we can control, and hopefully things will work out for us.
Big keys, just putting it, you know, just generalization, just pitching, fielding, and hitting. You do that well, you guys will come out on top.
Yeah, those three parts of the game, they're the ones. And, you know, I think I like our pitching staff. I like our defense. I think once our offense finds its mark, we'll be okay. And like I said, hopefully things will work out for us and we'll be at the top at the end of the year.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets & Company. Tony Stone, best of luck this week.
All right, thanks, Ken.
Listen to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Don't forget that coming up this Friday and Saturday, Western Oregon at Cinex Stadium, and the first pitch is slated for 3 p.m. on... Excuse me, no, I've got to get that right. Yep, that's 1 p.m. both days, Friday and Saturday at Cinex Stadium. Thanks for listening to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.